Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in Radiant Light. This is Michelle Mache. You have tuned in to Awakening, one of the places of love. And this is a little bit of light. I like how it gets a little funky there. Kind of draws you in. Love music, love musicians. So I want to welcome everyone that is tuning in across the globe, across the nation, all the light beings, other dimensional, as well as in human and cognitive. And welcome to those that are already coming into the chat room and saying space a bit more than I need there. And more importantly, I feel you. You surfed in, tuned in to Awakening. If you want to call in, the number is 347-519. Love that song. You'll notice I play a lot of the same songs over and over. I get on these little rolls, these little cravings for certain songs, certain music. Do it with my food too, by the way. Right now I'm really into macrobiotic stuff. So I've been eating at a restaurant called Seed in the Venice area, Venice Beach, California. And hey, Kirk. Hi, Mystic and Sylvia. Donna Wong, hello and light, everyone. Let me know about the sound levels. It all is in a good flow. And spring light is springing in. I just found out today on Twitter, by the way, that spring starts late February, which is pretty cool. And I got that from, I don't know, what was her name, Hippie something. Hippie Gourmet. That's right, Hippie Gourmet on Twitter's let me clued me into that. Yes, I've been Twittering this morning. One of my former students for my meditation for spiritual unfoldment at Agape, Marvin Towler, if you're listening, got me into the Twitter flow. But you know what? Actually, a great community. So I invite you all, if you want to follow me and I follow you, I'm on as Awakenings Radio. So if you go to twitter.com/awakeningsradio, you will see some happenings there. In fact, just a lot of great people this morning on the follow Friday. A lot of great inspiration, insight, upliftment. Much wonderful, just wonderful connecting and also remembering the truth of who we are and living that and sharing that. Yeah, Adonna's saying Twitter rocks. Yeah, it does. Blog Talk Radio Awakenings rocks too. Yeah, man. Yeah. I think that, you know, what I love about all this tech stuff is that it's all a reflection of the divine mind or universal mind, however you all, or the mind of the all that is, the Akashic, what, you know, whatever term you want to use, the innate intelligence, the web. We are the weaver, we are the web. If you want to look at the morphogenic field, however, the web of existence. You know, I had an interesting conversation years ago with an amazing tech. This guy, this techie, and I'm not recalling his name at the moment. Maybe it'll come back to me. I think he was 18 or 19. Put it this way, AT&T hired him back then. This is probably 10 years ago. I think 10 years ago actually, or. Yeah, 8 to 10 years ago. Didn't go to, somebody said Awakenings Radio didn't bring up anything for you. Yeah, it will. Twitter.com, try it. Anyway, he was doing some tech work for me, and he'd left school early, you know, didn't need to go to college. He was offered a job, and back then, part-time, $85,000, just to do his techie things at AT&T. So he was working on doing some tech stuff for me on my computer and the Mac that I had back then, the desktop. At a desktop, actually, and a laptop. But we're talking, that's why, that's a while back. So anyway, I had this great music on, just great kind of tech house, kind of just, you know, like dance, you know, music, totally swaying. He is there on the computer, got his hands on the keys, and his foot just going and his head bouncing, and he's you know, looking at this, opening this, changing this around, boom, 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 boom. I mean, fast as light. And then every so often, as women do, I know dudes don't totally like this. We women can't quite get this out of, because we're total multitaskers. So I'm asking him questions in between, and I can tell I'm breaking his flow, his focused techie flow, you know. And I'm asking, oh, how do you do that? Because I'm also, you know, neophyte techie, you know, recording artist, love editing and all that kind of stuff. So I'd ask a question and he would just look up, you know, swivel his head around and glance up at me to skew, answer the question and then go back, and was like just zeroed in, you know, zeroed in on the tech. So I was watching him, and of course me, metaphysician, you know, channeler, I'm kind of tuned in on him, and I'm like, whoa. This is like the universal mind. I said that this computers and networking systems and how we're all connecting to the net, I said, is how we really are metaphysically, that we're all one, that we're all connected, and there are these rays of light, that these beams of light that connects us, or this interlocking web of the etheric energy connects us. But it's all one, but yet it's individuated by these different, you know, computers, everybody's different IP address. And he looks up at me with these just like knowing eyes and also like, you know, you've bothered me one more time. And he said, yes, and true techies know this. I was like, woo! And it opened a whole conversation. We started talking about that. And he said, yeah, that was the premise, that technology is reflecting the mind, the consciousness. It's that the computers and the way that the computers are set up with the IP addresses, even into, you know, web hosting, or just even the function of emailing is like the mind, that they are, you know, everybody's zapping each other with their mind waves or telepathic waves, but it's done through technology. And he said, yeah, he goes, we talk about this all the time. And he said, you know, we're very aware of this. And so I was like, wow, okay. So I wasn't so off base after all. So pretty amazing if you think about it. And if you do think about it, it's all the mind of God. We are extensions of that mind. And I mean God not in the religious sense, but in the metaphysical sense. In fact, I did my dissertation in metaphysical theology on God. And the premise was how God is an energy, that it is this self-perpetuating, self-actualizing energy that emanates from a single source and extends out into multidimensional sources and then reflects upon itself and bends inward. So this is bending inward and outward. So anyway, that was kind of the premise. And proving that, how that it is all energy anyway, life force, pranic energy. Yeah, it was pretty fun. So how is everyone doing? Got a lot of guests in. That's great. Great to welcome all of you to the Sacred Space of Empowerment, what's also known as a chat room. Wait, Tammy and Drita. Drita, who's in Canada, who goes by Reiki Master, renamed the chat room the Sacred Space of Empowerment. And I really feel like it's fitting because there is such an energy in the chat room that people are really supporting each other, wishing each other well, but also relaying information. And that's, you know, kind of what I've been finding as I peruse the web to various sources. Used to be said that it's all about content, you know, content, and, you know, who has the content or the information age. my postulation is we're moving out of, it's not just the information. It's not just content. I want to say it's CC. It's content and connection. Because if you think about it, if you have the content, but you don't have the connection, it doesn't really matter. Somebody, and who was it? I think Rick London, another Twitter person. If you're Twittering in the forest and no one Twitters back, is it just 140 characters? And, you know, that's the sense. It's not, you know, talking or sharing or communicating just for the sake of it is a great expression, is a great experience. I mean, that's what journaling is about. And in a sense, as us as individuated consciousness, individuated aspects of the all that is, or if you want to say consciousness made manifest, that's what we're to be doing. My contention is we're moving out of the era of consumerism, consumption, consuming, taking in, into creativism. So I say we're moving from consumerism into creativism. And again, there's that the CC connection. Someone may want to look up what is C. I think it's in numerology, I think it's a number 5. It resonates to 5. If you break it down, that 5 is a 5510, which is new beginnings, new awarenesses. But again, content, connection, from consumerism to creativism, we're moving into that era. And I mean collectively. Many of us have been into this already, but we're going to see that it's about that mirroring back or that echoing. When you go and do the echo on the edge of the mountain and you echo out and it comes back at you, it reverberates back. That's that interplay of consciousness. And to me, that's what a lot of the technology is here about. It's not really about tuning out. Now, sometimes people overuse technology to tune out. I think we talked Wednesday about unplugging to plug in. And I was sharing with you all that was one of the chapters in my Meditation for Everyday Living book, is that you have to be able to unplug to plug in to your own center. And the reason I wrote that is because two things. Because a lot of people saying that they're addicted to their CrackBerry or BlackBerry or their iPhone or texting or even Twitter. Somebody said, "Oh, I'll be too addicted." Well, you really can have a handle on it. You know, you're bigger than that. It's a semi-inanimate object, even though it's beeping at you or vibrating or ringing to you. You can bring it into your meditation that you don't have to pick up. You don't have to. If you're feeling a deeper impulse that you need to perhaps be with nature or be on your own or have a face-to-face connection or contact or touch, it's up to us to know what we really need and want. You know, 90% of anything in life is knowing what we want. If we don't know what we want, we can't live authentically. So it's not the technology that is bad, even though a lot of people say that. You know, that's like people saying alcohol is bad or anything's bad. Nothing's bad. It's just if we are running from our interconnectedness, if we're running from something, and of course every now and then you do need distractions, but again, the self-mastery is knowing the balance. Am I overdoing something? And we always have the signs, don't we? I mean, I've seen in my life, you always have the signs. Always have the sign that you're out of balance. But sometimes we ignore them, you know, and it's not a big deal if you ignore them for a little bit. It's a big deal if you're ignoring them chronically. If you're ignoring them chronically, then in a sense you're ignoring an aspect of yourself because it's really nobody out there outside you that's going to admonish you or penalize you. It's not about that. That's really old, you know, paradigm, but it's about are you in that sense of self-mastery where your personality, ego self, is aligned to your higher self? Are you living from your soul's directive and impulse of your spirit? Are you receiving those impulses, those divine impulses, or those impulses of light? And we feel that by the subtle energy. You feel that by getting still and going within. And I don't mean it has to be in a formal meditation where you're sitting down. a lot of people kind of think, oh, I have to, you know, meditate 20, 25 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour a day, and to know. You can do it, you know, standing in the grocery store, standing in line, you know, walking. I've been doing a lot of mindfulness meditations. Those people that have been following me on Twitter know this. Because sometimes for me, sitting and being still is not enough. Sometimes I need to sway or dance or move. Sometimes chant. Sometimes just walk, but walk with conscious awareness aligning to my breath. And in that conscious awareness, I'm in that receptive state where I can receive the messages or the impulses that are me. Light in the chat is saying Twitter and meditation. Yes, it's possible. Yes, why not? Because meditation is simply the awareness of what is. If you look it up, there's no and cursing, you're supposed to be able to do it all the time without trying. Yeah, exactly. I mean, because if you think about it, in the Buddhist Sutra, there's a saying called meditation is your true nature. There's a phrase. So if it is our true nature, it really is saying that. Yeah, and Thich Nhat Hanh says that also, mindfulness. So if meditation truly is our true nature, then it is innate to us. It's natural to us. You see, you know, babies, infants, some young children before over socialization and the conditioning or programming, and definitely animal beings, always in a state of meditation. Very relaxed, but yet very aware. And actually, when you're in the meditative state, actually your brain is, waves are more active. There's more higher functioning and more biological happenings. On a brain level, when you're in that meditative state. So that's why there's the metaphysical axiom, the more relaxed you are, the more aware you are. Martial arts artists know this, that to be very relaxed in body is to be very aware. Taoists know this, because when the body is relaxed, the mind is receptive and open, and then you are in the flow. You're in the Tao. Let's see. Somebody got some questions in the chat, so I want to look in here. Yeah, somebody says praying is talking to God. Meditation is quieting the soul and listening. And be still and know that I am God. Wonderful, Light. That's beautiful. Hello, Tammy, and enlighten me, please. Louisa, hello, everyone in the chat. Welcome. Yeah, the thing is, though, there doesn't have to be quiet. And the idea that you're not really going to quiet your mind in meditation, what happens is you begin to be more of a decider or chooser. You decide where to put your conscious attention or awareness. That's why also meditation is focused awareness or focused awareness of what is. And if you look up the derivation of meditation, it simply means that. You become this mediating intelligence that you're just noticing. And what does a mediator do? They notice, they listen. If you've ever, you know, seen a mediation session, that person is just being aware of two sides and bringing their awareness back to themselves to mediate it and know what to do. So really, when you're meditating, the idea is really not so much to try to quiet the mind or still the mind or try to do anything, but just be aware of what's going on. Be aware of what you're thinking and go back to the breath. Be aware of what you're feeling and go back to the breath. If you keep doing that, you move out of the polarity plane or the aspect of duality. There's no longer, you move from the in-breath and the out-breath to the one breath, to the unison or unity. You move from thinking back into the center or feeling back into the center where the thinking and the feeling become one. And this is all done through the breath. So in essence, really to meditate, you need to focus on the breath. Spirit Light's putting in the chat, sometimes it's hard to meditate because she forgets to breathe. Yeah, well, that's the deal. You're not meditating. Yeah, got to breathe. Got to have the breath for it to be meditation. In the system of Vipassana or Dhyana, you have focused awareness plus the breath equals oneness. So focused awareness, dhyana, vipassana, plus pranayama, breath awareness or breath control, equals samadhi or samathi, the oneness. So what's interesting is nowhere really, except in later Western interpretations, you know, whatever form of meditation that you study, whether Western, you know, mystic, Eastern, you know, indigenous, you know, native tribes, did I forget anybody? Anyway, you don't find anything about peace and calm and quiet. Those become to be byproducts. But the reason that they're a byproduct is because we're not resisting. Because when I'm really accepting what is, then I'm in the center. It's the resistance to what is that causes our pain or our issue. We bump up against it, you know. Not to say you're not going to have pain, because pain is natural and that has its own, you know, biological survival role, if you will. So it's needed or necessary. However, you'll find either times in your life, or perhaps you notice in other people, when they seem to have a lot of pain in their life, whether emotional pain or physical pain, you will see that there's a lot of resistance in their life. They're resisting what is. And that resistance keeps bumping up. You keep bumping up against something. Sometimes when we're making changes, especially deeper changes, there's an energy, there's an awareness emerging through us as us, but it's emerging through us, as another unrevealed aspect, an aspect that's not yet revealed. And so sometimes the ego personality bumps up against that because it feels foreign, it feels unfamiliar. And the ego personality part of the function is, it's the secretary, it's the doer, it's the stabilizer, it's the reinforcer, it keeps things going in the groove. So it's beautiful. And the ego personalities are likes, our dislikes, our proclivities, it's the music we like, how we dress, it's our, you know, the outer body. I mean, it's an extension metaphysically, and in transpersonal work, it's the extension of the soul. In Eastern philosophy, it's an extension of the soul. And I'm not talking about the constructed ego. I'm talking about the authentic ego or emanation. It's the individuated aspect of the all that is. We could also look at it as a computer. Ego has only what we've programmed into it. And so if you're not liking what's happening around, perhaps you need to change the programming. That's the key. One of the things I was thinking about today on my walk, I did an early this morning meditation that was just amazing. I had lucid dreams last night too. So just there's so much energy up right now, so much potential, so much possibility. You can just feel it. It's almost like when you feel the weather change, that something is happening, that there's this new change, or right before a storm, whether windstorm or rainstorm, you feel some a shift in energy. And part of living metaphysically or living more aware is being able to notice those shifts, notice that pattern of energy, that shifting. And to, as the Taoists say, flow with it or follow with that. Again, instead of resisting. So I had a deeper meditation this morning, and then in my walking meditation I was contemplating positive triggers, or I want to say life-enhancing, because you know, we have the positive, negative aspects of life, the magnetic as well as the electrical. But I was looking around my house and my office, and I was looking around my environment, the ducks, the birds, certain people, certain things, and thinking, there are many things in our environment that can become life-enhancing triggers. And to me, what I've found for myself, that it's great to consciously be aware of these life-enhancing triggers and have as many of them in my life as possible. That's one note. The other thing is, how can I look at more and more aspects of my life or activities or situations or people or buildings even, you know, grocery store, whatever, markets. How can I look at those as life-enhancing triggers. So it's a whole different perception. It's a slight shift. But if I'm beginning to see certain things in perhaps in life that you take advantage of or you don't necessarily notice, you know, how there's the street sign that keeps a sense of order, you know, or a light, or this morning how somebody called out to a car so they didn't run over the ducks that were crossing the street. You should notice that interplay of all that interconnection that took to create that situation or that scenario. That's a meditation in itself. That's an awareness of what is. That meditation practice gets me into that meditative state. But I can see all of those activities or that converging of those situations just on one street corner as the play of consciousness. And I can look at that as a life-enhancing trigger. Because if I see that play of consciousness as something that's life-enhancing, I see it as creative. When I look at that, I see that whole interaction of that woman to the car, to the duck, and caring for the duck, and having compassion for the duck, and saying, slow down, there's a duck there, and the duck walking across. I see that as nature. And, of course, we're all a part of nature. And I see how the light is man-made, and that came from an intelligent or divine source or expanded consciousness or mind created that idea of the stoplight to keep a certain order and a flow of traffic or a flow of life form. There was a flow right there in that situation, in that scenario. And what am I getting at? I'm getting at looking at below the surface or under the surface and seeing the connectedness of it all and how there really is a perfect harmony. There is really a perfect timing. The more that I can see life as perfect, the more that I can feel life as perfect, whole, and complete, the more that I feel that and I live that and the more that I attract that. So I really don't have to worry about attracting something. It's my consciousness. As Walter Starkey says, focus on the consciousness that creates the results, not the results. Focus on the consciousness that creates the manifested results and not on the results or not on manifestation. If you're focusing too much on manifestation, it's too late in the chain. You're not coming from causal point. You're really not. But the focus on the consciousness, and as Tammy's putting in the chat, unity consciousness, yes, that unity consciousness is very powerful. I don't feel that I'm alone. What are you saying, Kirk, in the chat? That's what Michelle is saying. LOL, yeah. That unity consciousness lets me know that there is an order, if you want to call divine order, systematic order, creative order, innate order, you know, whatever term you want to use. The Taoists see that order because when you see the order, you begin to see where you are a part of the order and that you begin to see that you're needed and necessary. And if anything, when you begin to see that you're needed and necessary, you begin to feel better about yourself naturally. Because so many ills with people are because they don't feel they don't belong or they don't, why am I here on earth? What am I supposed to do? Comparing, somebody's doing something better than I'm doing, or I'm not doing A, they're doing A and I'm doing B, I should be doing A. Why did I get A to do and they got B? But if I begin to see that I'm needed and necessary and that everything is perfect, all is in divine right order, then I begin to see my life as relevant and I begin to see and feel and live as if I am relevant because the reality is nothing in the universe is extraneous. There's only what is needed and necessary here. So if you're here, you're needed and necessary. That's the great news. That's the truth. But you begin to notice that by noticing how it is all perfect. And I guess I'm talking about this because our guest today, Tony Rathstone, is going to be talking about seeing it as perfect. Went to his site, by the way. Pretty amazing site. SeeItAsPerfect.com. Wonderful concept. to begin to see it all as perfect, and the contention that if you're not, then perhaps something's wrong. Because something is perfect in that. Also the contention that you choose. Again, we go back to that more as than doers. We are choosers. We're deciders. Very empowering place to come from is that we are more than doers or deciders. More than doers, we are deciders. So many people focus on the doing. That's also the manifestation. If you're focusing on manifestation or manifesting, then you're focusing on the doing instead of deciding. Because so much is created or received or drawn in by intention. I was talking to someone the other day, a client of mine that was talking about two instances. It was amazing how they were saying out of the blue that this email to do something. Now I know who it is. Okay, yeah, in regard to some publishing and some other stuff. It was all out of the blue. And then there was another instance that happened that was completely out of the blue. But when they really looked back and traced it, they realized that it really wasn't out of the blue. It was their original intention. One intention set back in August, another intention set in December or January. So they didn't even do anything. They even forgot about what they had intended. But see, they were so in alignment with their intention. They were putting attention to their intention. In other words, they were doing activities and had the mindset that was supporting their intention. So even though on a rational level the surface mind forgot what the intention was, it ended up playing out, and they ended up receiving exactly what they were intending because they were aligned to that intention. This is where mainstream is going. This is going to be, few years from now, 10, 20 years, it's going to be, this is all that what we're talking about is going to be all old hat. It's going to be, we're encoding it now. We're getting it out there more. But this is where the mainstream consciousness will go. You'll be able to, turn on radio stations, terrestrial radio, television. Those will become a little obsolete, but, they'll come back around. But internet, you'll hear this in the coffee shop. You'll hear this in the schools. You'll hear teachers telling the child, they're asking, did you set your intention? What's right for you? What's authentic for you? This is where we're going. This is, again, from out of that consumerism to creativism, letting people know that, hey, you're co-creators. You're co-creating this life here. So what are you intending? What do you really want to do? What is authentically you? Those will be the new buzzwords, not which shoe to wear, which Nike shoe to get or not, or Xbox. It'll be, are you making a new Xbox? Instead of are you playing with it or using it, are you making a new Xbox? What are you creating today? What are you working on? That'll be that's the next wave. So I want to take a minute. I think our guest I'm going to see is on the line, or somebody might be just listening, but I'm going to check in with that. Also, if anybody has a question in the chat, if you just type it in caps, then I can see it. Or you can use the question mark icon, which I'm going to put there. And apparently online, if you're on the switchboard waiting and you have a question, just press 1. And that puts a little red hand up for me in the on the switchboard, and I know that you have a question. Kurt, this is great. Okay, everyone. Kurt in the chat says, won't need an Xbox if we know how to leave our bodies at will. That's true. I guess we're going to have bigger games, right? Oh, God. I love that. That was a rhetorical question for the chat awakening. Well, I would stick my nose in the chat conversation, too. I have to do that. That's great. Absolutely. I guess when everybody is more completely telepathic, using their sixth sense, plus consciously at will. Xbox. Okay, not this awakening. Sorry, no problem. We'll be all doing that at will. That's the key. At will. That mastery of the little self, where we're bringing the fullness the full expression of who we are into this part of the game. Because it's not that we're not all enlightened or not aware or this expanded consciousness. It's just the programming, the conditioning. The game's been too smaller. You know, it hasn't allowed this on a consistent or mainstream level. Because we're not talking about the 8 to 10% that have been living this way. You know, we're talking about up-leveling so the whole planet is playing in a bigger game, a more expanded game. In my mind, a more fun game. But that's, you know, that's the next level that's being seeded. And part of that, again, I'm going to go back to this, you know, part of it's because of our guest, seeitperfect.com, is that it's first, if you see it perfect, you live it perfectly, then you're in the game, and you're in the game winning. You're in the game in a win-win situation. You're in a game that's about co-creation, you know, self-realization, self-actualization, self-expression. That's a much different game that you're playing. You want to play that game, and it's more fun too, and it's an easier game to play. And I think once as that starts catching on more, again, that will allow these principles to be more seeded into the mainstream. So let me see who's here on the air. Hi, 951-244, you're on the air.
Hi, Michelle, this is Tony.
Oh, Tony, great. I was hoping it was you because I had a 909 number, so, and this is different, so just wanted to make sure. So we are on the air right now with Tony Rathstone of seeitasperfect.com. Welcome, Tony. Welcome to Awakenings.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So you eat over at Seeds in Venice, huh?
Yes. Do you know that place?
We are actually going there this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Great.
So what's your favorite dish?
I'm going to tell you. Sai-Sai Dunburi. It's taken me so long to remember it. It's S-A-I-S-A-I-D-O-N-D-U-R-I. I don't
Do they have a number for that, like a combo, you know, like combo two?
Just say the one. All you have to do, because a friend of mine had gotten it at one point and had told me about it, and then I tried it. She told me about it over the phone. I was on the cell phone, bad reception. So I called in and to pick it up, and I said, it's the something, I don't know, has a weird name. And the guy said, Sai Sai Dunburi. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, brown rice, what else is it? Kabocha, kale, shiitake mushrooms, aramae, bean sprouts, sauerkraut, and this balsamic miso sauce.
Well, everything sounds yummy except the sauerkraut.
Yeah, but it's actually not bad. Actually, I know, but okay, this is how much I love this. I want to try to, you know, master it. I went to Whole Foods the other night, actually last night, and even bought the ingredients and even bought organic sauerkraut. But you know what? It's mixed in with the rice, so it's not too, like, sauerkraut.
Powerful,
you know.
Right.
Powerful, yeah. And it's funny, when I was buying the sauerkraut, the guy is saying, what kind of sausage are you going to get? Is it kielbasa? And I said, oh, no. No, I'm not doing nothing wrong with sausages, but I'm like in a whole other, you know, world with my the brown rice and the sauerkraut and the seaweed.
Yes, I'm on a currently different planet at the moment. Yes, I'll take that.
Exactly. I guess because you think sauerkraut sausage, right?
That, and it's probably more money for them.
That's right.
So you made your own dish. How'd it come out?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. There's a still better, but not bad.
Naturally, they're the professionals.
Oh, and you know what else they have that's amazing is this, these cupcakes with like green tea dressing, or green tea frosting rather, not dressing, frosting. But
really?
I'm not a cupcake. Yeah, I'm not a cupcake person at all. But it doesn't taste. It's not. It's like a chocolate caramel thing. Then they have a vanilla coconut one. Those are a meal to me, though, in itself, actually. But
so your mouth was watering. You saw and you said, all right, this goes good with combo two here.
That's
I'm taking
right.
both.
And then I was like, yeah, don't do one for tea and one for dinner. Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like too much. But very, very healthy, very light tasting. Very much a treat. And a very great vibe in there, too. Very nice.
Cool. We've heard great things about it. So when you were talking about it, we're like, hey, there's a art of synchronicity at its finest, right?
I know, of all places, too. I mean, it's not like this is, you know, huge cheesecake factory or something, you know.
Right.
Like something kind of obscure.
Which is a great fattening restaurant in North America, by the way.
Yeah. I haven't been there in years, but... so that
That's
makes
funny.
It perfect, too. That synchronistic connection, that synergy. You know, and on that note, Tony, what drew you to See It As Perfect? How did you come up with this concept?
Well, it actually came up with the idea, well, not really an idea. It was just kind of a way of doing things. And it started, well, I guess the best way to describe it is it came into my conscious thoughts in a very funny scenario, if you want to hear it. It's a little embarrassing, but it gets the point across.
Well, I like it. If it's embarrassing, yes, right?
It's embarrassing. It's a good one. I'm playing Little League, and I'm out in center field, and I was a decent athlete. So I'm out there in center field, and I had to pee like nobody's business. Bad. And there was like one out, so we were still going for a while, and the ball went out to hit the fence. I hit the wall, which, of course, my bladder is full, so I peed a little.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that feels better. So maybe I'll just pee a little bit again, and I'll relieve a little more pressure, and I'll make it for the next out, and I'll be able to go to the bathroom in between the innings.
Right,
well, it didn't work. Didn't work. I opened up the floodgates, and out it came. So here I am, an 11-year-old kid, or actually, at the time, what would I have been? I would have been 9 years old out there, and I'm whizzing away. I'm just drenched in the middle of this field, which it's very – there's four baseball diamonds around us. There's parents and
wow.
peers and everything all over the place. And that's my part in the play. The part where it became more of the picture at perfect was actually my father, who's sitting in the stands, and he can obviously see, you know, hey, his kid's doing something really kind of funky out there, because isn't right. So he was trying to create or picture some scenario that this is going to be okay, because it's not okay.
Wow.
So he's thinking, and he gets this image, and when he has this image in his mind, he says he just felt this calmness come over him. And he stayed with that calmness for everything that his next movements were. So as the final out came in and I'm about to run the shame walk back into the dugout, my father had worked his way down onto the field, totally maintaining this concept in his mind of feeling good of what he was about to do, and grabbed this like bucket of ice water and had this water in it. And as soon as I was getting close, well, you know, you could start to see that there now was a visual remains of my urine all over me and my facial expression. And my dad just went right out onto the field, bypassed everybody, took this like cooler thing that he had with him, and just came out and was just giving me this big old hug like it was my birthday. And he dumped the water all over me. So when he backed off, I was soaked from head to toe.
Yeah.
And he had this thing, and he just looked like he just did this terrible thing as he walked back. And everyone was laughing, but now they were laughing at my father. And he took all of the feeling that of embarrassment or anything that I could have had and eliminated it by his actions on how he wanted to feel good in his moment, which was the last thing he wanted to experience, was his son coming in and having to go through this process. So that's kind of the point of memory that I can go back and go, you know what, this is probably when the idea started to really take shape. So,
wow.
Yes, I did pee on myself.
Wow. But, you know, that what an empowering father, you know.
What a great thing to do. And quick
yeah.
thinking, and dropped all his preconceived notions of what was right and wrong at the time.
Yeah.
And came up with a solution.
Yeah, that is amazing. God, that is really, you know, pee is powerful.
Yeah, especially when it starts.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's interesting you have that. In second grade, I did. I consciously peed at will in my pants because the teachers wouldn't let me go to the bathroom, and I really had to go, and they were think that I didn't.
Really, really had to go, or just had to go?
No, had to go, but I really, really, really did. But they wouldn't. They were pulling a power trip, and I was so aware. I knew in my mind if I peed my pants, that I would get a hall pass whenever I wanted to go and kind of make them wrong. So I did, and all the kids didn't get it. They were laughing, but inside my head I was like, oh, no, you guys don't get it. And weeks later they got it because every time I raised my hand, if I was getting bored or I didn't want to listen anymore or I wanted to go outside and smell the flowers because they had a nice garden out by the school, I would raise my hand. But because I got a note from my mom saying anytime Michelle raises her hand or needs to go to the bathroom, let her go.
She's out the door.
So I had this hall pass. And later they're like, God, you get to go anytime you want to, even if you don't have to go. Because they'd see me out smelling the flowers, and I'd smile at them.
They figured out the game real quick after it was over.
Yeah, 5 minutes of shame was worth it.
Was worth everything that came after.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's about taking control over your own life and utilizing the skills that are available. And right then, the skill that you utilized was urination.
Exactly. You know, but I love to, Tony, what you're saying is that the taking control of your life, I still keep going over, though, what your father did, though. I mean, how empowering, you know, for him to just think that quickly.
To come up with it, and
yeah, I mean, wow.
He. It wasn't images that was coming up; it was feelings that was coming up, which is different. Like a blind man walks with a cane. So you put the cane down and you go tat 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 tat, and they're feeling their way through to the next point from point to point. Well, if you do that with your feelings the same way, if you shut down all your other senses except what you can feel emotionally and physically like that. And then go into each scenario and bounce around your feelings like a cane, you will find the path of least resistance every time. And that path of least resistance will be the most beautiful path, will be the path that you're after every time. It's when we try to consciously manipulate the situation that we change the paradigm. And that's where we become wrong, and that's where the ego becomes involved and so forth and on. You end up doing something you never thought you wanted to do in a million years, and here you are. You know, busting bottles for a living instead of speaking to thousands as the president.
Right.
So what my dad did was he created the feeling of what he wanted. So the feeling should be of this scenario is all bad, so how can I feel good? So he started feeling good. And as he felt good, the solutions started to come because the solutions land and arrive and resonate at that point, not at the point where the problem is.
Right.
The problem exists at the problem, not the solution. So you have to leave, but it's a feeling that you have to leave. It's not a thought process where you were talking about the chain of causation, the chain of events. Manifestation is a little bit farther down the line. The cause of it was the initial vibration or frequency that was emanating at the time, which was a feeling, which is more of a non-conscious feeling, which would be controlled by 5/6 of your brain. Sorry.
No, I was going to say that is so poignant what you're saying, so critical, because a lot of people are focused on the thoughts, the thought forms, or the manifestation, or the material, or the behavioral, but it's really going into the causal point of, like what you're saying, the feeling tone, the sensing, the feeling, which is very ambiguous, but it's the feeling, and you're right, if the feeling is more life-enhancing, if I'm hearing you correctly, that's when you're going to be in the flow.
Right. We run a fitness boot camp. Every day of the week. Or the thing. But one of the concepts when it comes to Seed is Perfect, we were attempting to get across to the gals that were in camp, is, and most gals can probably attest to this. You wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you're looking at your body trying to judge how you feel based on what you want to look to, or how you feel so you can decide what you want to wear. Well, when you start to look at the mirror, you're seeing a reflection of yourself, so you're focusing on your reflection of yourself. So one of the things we tell everybody at camp is stop looking at your butt, because whatever you focus on expands.
Well, if you have a teeny butt, that's good then.
If you're focusing on your belly, it's going to expand, and that's instantly the thought that you start to create is an animosity or a dislike or a distrust or a hatred or discomfort with the way you physically look. And that's the feeling now you're sending back down into your system to generate more of. So as you focus, you expand. As you focus on your butt, your body will get bigger. If you start focusing on where it is that you would like to be, of course, then that's the direction you'll start to head. But if you can't carry the feeling when you get there, you'll never resonate there. You will fall right back to where you are now. So the person that starts their fitness program, they get all amped up and excited because they're on borrowed energy. They don't own it. So a month later, they lost 10 pounds. They go, hoo-yah! And then 2 months later, they're up 20 pounds because they didn't own the energy. And when you own the energy, you've generated it from a feeling inside. Once you've done that, you can repeat that over and over and over anytime you want. And then you realize that it doesn't need to worry about the outside circumstances because you can feel good anywhere you want to feel good.
Now, what do you mean that they start and they don't, because they're not owning the energy? They start, they feel good, because they don't own it, they fall off. Can you explain a little bit of that?
Yeah. The concept, we call it borrowed energy. So you like music, so this would be a good example for you. What's your favorite song?
Depends on my mood.
Exactly.
Is that right? Yes, true, though. It depends on my mood. It's true.
It depends on your mood. So let's say you're in a down mood, and you start listening to this song, whatever it might be, and it starts to pump you up, and you're getting excited, you're getting hyped up, you're doing all these things, and then there's this guy you wanted to meet. Well, you're walking in on this pumped up high that you didn't generate out of your physical movements, out of the manifestation of eating, for example, of physically putting your leg in a different position. You borrowed the energy from the song that the song was producing for you, and you walk in and you start talking to this person, and you're slightly somebody who you're not. And then when that music is gone, when that vibration is gone, you're back to who you are on an everyday basis. So it would be akin to you wake up with no makeup, you put makeup on, you go meet someone, but then you won't let them see you without makeup because that's not who you are. So that music, you start getting pumped up at a concert, you're pumped up, 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 up. Well, sooner or later, you're going to come down to whatever you normally maintain on a daily basis. So that energy, so to speak, was borrowed. It wasn't yours. You didn't own it. So when someone comes into our camp, they're on a very much a low, and they've gotten high based on telling everybody they're going to boot camp. I'm going to boot camp, and it's going to be great, and this time it's going to be fantastic, and I've read all these great results. I'm going to do fantastic. And they get there, and they find out it's a lot harder than they wanted. It takes more energy and effort than they imagined, and they're sore every day. Mm-hmm. And they got to get up at 5:30 in the morning to get there, and then they got to go through work. And now the reality of trying to maintain that energy comes into play, and they don't have the energy to manifest that because they didn't come in with it from a feeling perspective. They came in from a mental perspective. So I can sit back and try to make the law of attraction work in my head all day long. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work. That's not going to do anything because you don't own what you've done. You're a co-creator. Your job is to emanate from a feeling perspective, the germination, the causation of it all, and then get out of the way. You're not the puppet master. You're the puppet. You've given the request. Now it's going to happen. It is almost like you've created destiny for yourself. You just keep getting in the way. You go to a restaurant and you order a meal. And you go, I'm going to have a hamburger and fries. Or the, in your case, the combo two and the green tea icing cupcake. And then 10 minutes later, your meal comes out and you have a McDonald's quarter pounder, chili cheese fries, and a shake. And you look at the waiter and say, that's not what I ordered. Says, but that is what you ordered. You just didn't realize that's what you were ordering. And you go, oh, okay, well, let me try it again. This time I'm going to go back and mess with the chef. Well, that's the same process. You have to make your order and then let it go. You don't worry about where your next breath is coming from. You just breathe. If you don't worry about whatever it is you want to accomplish, then it will come about as well. And that's a feeling. Not worrying is a feeling.
Yeah.
Or the absence of not worrying. And then take it even farther.
Because it moves out of the emotional state into the feeling state. So there, you're moving into that feeling tone or feeling state. Now, one question, Tony, is let's say with the music, or you know, you're talking about the borrowed energy. So how would you own that energy? Because obviously, we talked earlier, I was sharing about life-enhancing triggers. We have situation or people, or like if people are going to your boot camp, they're initially they're borrowing some of your energy in a sense.
Correct.
Even your, it, them. So what's the bridge from moving from the borrowed energy into perhaps connecting in with your own energy or owning the energy, however you would want to put that?
Well, the great question. The simplest ways to go about doing it is to realize that just as I exist, you exist. So you're a sentient being, I'm a sentient being. If you start thinking about every cell in your body as a sentient being, it has its own processes. It has its own evolution. It lives, it dies. So what does it need to produce what is necessary, what it's destined to do? And that would be, in our case, in our real world, you could look at it as energy, which is kind of ambiguous, but you can break it down to food, macro, micronutrients,
mm-hmm.
carbs, proteins. So how you feed your body will determine how you feel. And then how you hold your body will determine how you feel. Most people in this particular genre are pretty familiar with NLP or Neuro-Linguistic Programming or NAC, mm-hmm. Neuro-Associative Conditioning. So how you move your body will dictate how you feel as well. So when mm-hmm. someone comes to camp, the first thing we get them to understand is that if you walk in and your shoulders slumped and your head is down and you're barely shrugging your feet across the room, it's going to be really hard to run across the grass in this format. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to change your physical stature, which is in your control. You don't need a pill, a drug, a bottle, a television show at night. You can straighten your own body. Stand up.
Oh.
You've done it before.
Right.
Now breathe as if you were confident. Was there ever a time you were confident? No, I don't understand. Okay, then let's run across the grass, because when we get the other side, your body will tell you how to breathe. And they'll go,
wow.
I go, yeah, see, now all of a sudden you're standing up, aren't you? Oh, wow, yeah. So now if you were to have walked into your speaking engagement with this much energy that you alone have generated, would you have not have done better? Well, yeah, I'm more confident. Oh, so when you said you didn't know how to be confident, you did, you just didn't know how to apply it all the time.
Mm.
So that's what we're teaching at camp right away. Then we take it into the mental side, which, like if you focus on your butt expands, those kind of concepts. Then we try to integrate this into their life as much as possible with picturing the outcome that they're after, then creating the feeling of that outcome, because it's not the outcome it's not the picture of the outcome that they want. People don't want to lose weight. They want to feel better.
Mm.
So someone comes in and says, well, go ahead.
No. Well, that brings up a question that someone had in the chat, Light had, about what to focus on to release the weight to become thin.
Okay. You don't release, per se, anything. You transcend it. You move through it. It's perpetual transmutation. Everything is moving from one form to another. So you're not really letting go of something, as in moving through something. So
I agree. That's what we say in hypnotherapy. You don't lose it. Yeah, you're transmuting it, or like you're saying, transform
into something else.
Into
the next form, and that will move on to the next thing, because everything is constantly changing. There's nothing that's static, which thank goodness there wasn't. But anyway,
well, that's powerful. I think we've got to say that again, because I think so people really are getting it, those listening and those listening also in the chat room, about the not really losing or releasing, but you're transcending form or transmutating or transforming form. That's a whole different thing than trying to get rid of something, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. If
that's
you're trying to get rid
back.
Of something, you're focused on it.
Right.
So whatever you focus on expands. So
okay.
The very thing you're trying to lose or release, you're going to get more of. That's the as above, so below, as above, that process that's re-engineering itself back inside your body. You're having this thought of releasing this thing, but in order to have the thought of releasing the thing, you have to hold on to it which mm-hmm. is generating the feeling of holding on to it, which is generating the remembrance of the feeling of whatever it was you were experiencing, which is creating more of that experience, which is then, and you go on and on and on in that same loop.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
if
other
you're
thing
focused
too,
all your
you
life on releasing, then that's what you get to focus on the rest of your life, releasing.
Yeah, releasing. But also releasing conotope, because when you're in that form of the polarity plane or, you know, duality aspect, if you're releasing, it's coming back also. Just like if you're losing, you're finding. You see, it keeps coming.
Right, right.
Right? When you're transforming or transmuting, it's...
You have transcended from one position to
yeah.
the next position.
Yeah,
you no
like
longer
that.
Reside at a resonance that will maintain that weight. You have a new mm-hmm. resonance that maintains a different weight, which correlates with a different lifestyle. Which
mm-hmm.
is why most trainers try to come back and say, it's a lifestyle change that needs to occur. It's a lifestyle change. And you don't take a car you drive a Maserati down the street and it's going 120 and you can't make it make a left-hand turn on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to slow it down. You've got to chunk it down into reasonable, manageable scenarios. So when we take Seat as Perfect, for example, we kind of make it akin to a Broadway play. You have a play, and inside that play, it's made up of scenes, and inside those scenes are acts. So you take those acts, and then you have specific dialogues between the two characters that are within that act, and every part of your life gets broken down that way. So right now, you and I are in a scene, an act in a scene. The act is the two of us talking. Now, we had a little bit of dialogue before, and we're going to have a little bit of dialogue after, and then this act is going to end, but the scene of my day and the scene of your day will continue. We'll go into a new act and a new process, and then all of a sudden you have the end of the day. You can look back at your whole play. So when you're seeing it as perfect, what you want to look at is the actions that you're taking right now. What if everything was going perfectly, how would you feel? How would you walk? How would you talk? How would you think if you felt good? Would it be different? And as soon as you start to feel better than you did before, you have transcended where you were and what you resonated mm-hmm. with to a new point. You didn't actually do any physical movement, so to speak. You're still in the same office building, in the same office, in the same conversation with the person, but everything has changed. You've allowed the natural laws of nature to affect itself upon you, which is change. Everything is constantly changing. It's when we stop and make it static that the problem begins, because now we have to fight and struggle to try to keep it here, which is going to perpetuate fight and struggle, and then we have to release that fight and struggle and back down that same loop.
Yeah, it's the resistance. So are you essentially saying that in this that you're going into whatever the natural laws are by not resisting, you're aligning to the natural laws of the change?
Yes, you're kind of creating a coherence with the natural laws. You're looking at the basic laws of the universe and going, okay, well, if change is constant, polarity is always there, transmutation is always there, what are these things? And go, okay, how it's happening right now. So how do I align myself so that I'm moving in agreement with all these things? Like I call it the principle of gestation. There's if you've ever had a child, I have not, fortunately. But if you've ever had a baby, there's a gestation period. There's 9 months or approximately mm-hmm. 9 months. There's 47 days, I think it is, for a rose to bloom. Everything has this gestation period, and when someone's trying to manifest something, they go, well, I want $100,000, and I did everything that the law of attraction people said to do, but it's not here, because you don't know what your personal gestation period is for that $100,000, because you're not coming at it from a Maserati mm-hmm. sense of energy. You're coming at it a Yugo sense of energy, because you're mm-hmm. so scattered on so many other things that your ability to focus isn't that great.
Mm. So we all have different gestation periods, sounds like.
Yes,
okay.
For everything that you're after as well, which is one of those those laws of nature that exist. So if you just kind of take a snapshot and go, in every scenario, there's a polarity. There's a higher and a lower scenario to this. And I'm not going to know if I'm on the higher or the lower, because there's the law of relativity, which is comparing something to something. So okay, if everything's got a high and a low, and it depends on what I compare myself to, then I can compare myself to anything and be higher or lower, depending on how I choose to feel, which comes back to choose to feel. What is the end result you're after? Feel that way and use like a blind man's cane and start going through your life based on that feeling. You do it all the time at a mall when you feel someone staring at you and you turn around and you look and you lock eyes with somebody that's 200 yards away and you're like, how did I know? Because you felt it.
Mm-hmm. You really do feel it. Yeah. One thing I wanted, somebody asked a question in the chat. What's the difference between transforming and transcending?
Transforming is taking a cardboard box and kind of folding it together and creating a new box. Transcending mm-hmm. is taking what makes up the box and making it something completely else. It's no longer a box. It's a gift card that's going to be mailed.
Okay, so transcending the form. So it's you go beyond the form or form.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Going beyond the form.
The frequency is still in the, like a radio station, it's still in the 95 to 96 range, but instead of being 95.1, it's now 95.23.
Okay.
It can't go back to the other one anymore. It's now in this new position. So when people come to camp or they're trying to move themselves to a different weight, once they start to realize that the Maserati is going 120 miles an hour, it's not going to turn on a dime, then all I have to do is start feeling good in this particular moment and maintain
right.
that control over the moment that I can, which is how I feel. And as soon as I see my feelings start moving off to the side, I just observe where they moved and go, obviously I'm addicted to this portion. What am I getting from that? What do I gain from that? And then
mm-hmm.
how can I generate that feeling on my own right now so I don't need that anymore and continue to go forward? And now I'm creating ownership of my own energy. I'm seeing
it as
perfect.
Go back
perfect.
To that ownership again.
Yes.
So it's really important. How important is it to take ownership of your energy?
It's key. To me, it's key. If you're in an argument with someone because you're trying to take energy from them, you're trying to lift yourself up because you're right. So you're taking
wow.
energy from them. Well, I don't want energy taken from me, so now we're in a battle. We're fighting over this little bit of energy instead of realizing that I can generate my own and you can generate your own, and now we both go in the same direction or different directions, and we're both happy with each other. That statement of agree to disagree is how that evolves.
Mm-hmm.
So every conversation is an exchange of energy. If it's an equal exchange of energy, then everybody's excited about the conversation and wants
yeah.
to have that conversation again.
Exactly.
That's ownership of your energy. When you're having a war with someone or an argument with someone, what you've started to do is made love to your ego. Now you're going to get orgasmic
right.
because you're right. And you
right.
turn around and you're on this borrowed energy because you just stole it from your mother or your brother or your sister or your husband or wife.
Well, what they call psychic vampire, right?
Psychic vampire, yes. And now I go over here and I'm all charged up and now I'm doing these things that are on borrowed energy and I'm starting to wane back to my normal, my makeup's starting to come off. Well, now
right.
I got to go find someone else I can steal from quickly. But I got to find someone that's not so much as stealing as in is willing to give it to me. Because they're so desperate for approval from anyone that you look good. I'm going to give you my approval because obviously you seem to know what you're doing because you act like you know what you're doing. Even though I can't see the wake of where your boat came from and realize that your boat's in bankruptcy and foreclosure and you've just
but
left jail.
But you could feel it. If they were tuned in, they could feel that.
They
got
would
a question
yeah.
from a chat. Is if you can go back to what the constant is. Is the absolute, okay, that's true conscious. The absolute is unchanging, but the manifestations are extensions of the absolute. So in a way, there's no absolute. Anyway, the question is, right, and what is the constant? You said something about the constant. I'm trying to go back in the, Tammy says you have good energy. They're all a flittering and a flowing. He said, We would be able to experience any constant, just perceive expressions of changing planes from spiritual, mental, and physical. That's the question.
Okay, so we'll back up even farther then and see if I get this question answered right in the way that I'm understanding it.
Okay, cool.
What is the concept? Everyone talks about the concept of one.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
So then what does that really mean? How does that work its way into the fabric of the reality that we live on a day-to-day basis? Because I look out and I see that this board is separate from me. This mirror is separate from me. I get told to practice a meditation technique. But then when am I not meditating if I got to go practice this technique?
Yeah.
So if I have to do something outside of myself, then I'm acknowledging that it's separate from me, or at least in myself I believe it to be separate. And as long as you believe it to be separate, it is separate, and you will act accordingly, which means you're going to come back to trying to control it, manipulate it, trying to get approval from it or give it approval, or somehow protect yourself from it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back in that same cycle. So if there's a constant to something, it's to maintain that everything truly has some type of connection to you all the time, regardless of what you're interacting with. And if you look at it that way, like somehow on some level, even if I don't understand what level that is, I do understand that everything has a frequency. And since I am also a frequency, that is how we can all be one. So if we're all the frequency, and I acknowledge that you're a frequency, then we are one in this situation. So that means, based on the law of attraction, I am the problem you have attracted, and you are the problem that I have attracted. You are also the solution because it's a polarity. So you have everything I need for this conversation to go perfectly, this relationship to go perfectly, if I'm willing to stop manipulating and controlling it and trying to stop yourself from going back into the restaurant and talking to the chef and telling them how to cook the food before it comes out to you. Because if you did that, they're going to spit in your food. You don't want that.
I've heard those stories. Oh, here's one. The solution to the problem is the problem. That goes into what you were saying. The solution and the problem are both one because they're both on the same plane.
Right. They're just a different temperature, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone explained that years ago in a metaphysical class or training I was going through. And the example they used is someone coming to them and saying, my problem is I need to make more money. I need to earn more money or I need to have more money. And the Cohen was, well, the solution to the problem is the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an easy one, you know. You need to make more. Okay, then there you go. You just said it. Here's your solution. You need to make more money. Make more money. You need to earn more or whatever. Draw in more, whatever, you know, back then.
Right. They both lie right there. Now, let's if you don't mind, let's digress into money because of what's the perception of what's going on. Okay.
Yeah, now, like that you said. Perception. I love that.
I hear people losing their job all the time on the radio now or the television. And you're like, okay, you lost your job. Two questions come to mind. One is, what did you lose? Because when you would have interviewed that person in the first place, and if everyone's really honest with themselves, they're going to say, well, I actually hated my job. I didn't like going there. I don't like my coworkers. I was trying to leave. I was trying to get an education to do something else. I was doing all these things to leave, and I hated being there. So isn't losing your job an extension of what you wanted? It's part of the action that was created by the cause that you put in place when you didn't want to be there. You wanted a better life. Now you have a better life. You're just seeing it as a bad life because you've lost something that you were taking energy from. You had taken energy from your work, like someone has taken their umbilical cord and shoved it into their office. And that's how they were feeding and paying their bills. And then they decided to spend more than they made or spend at least what they made. And now they're not getting fed anymore. So they're in trouble. But it's all in the process of transcending to their next point. At some point, they had to lose their job to get a new one.
Yeah. I love what you say. I love what you say, the transcending to the new point. We got a caller on the air. Let's see. Let's switch for. Hello. You're on the air. We are on Awakenings. Hi, Conscious.
How you doing, goddess? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're on Awakenings with Tony Rathbone.
Excellent. How you doing, Tony?
Very good. Who am I speaking with?
This is Conscious Vibrations. Respect.
Conscious. Pleasure to meet you. You have a very nice voice.
My pleasure. I have a question for you. Maybe in you answering this question, you can assist a multitude of us. From a layman's perspective, can you hear me?
Yes.
From a layman's perspective on how we identify with objective reality, the physical world, based on the five senses, me being an initiate on the path of trying to find out true reality, how could you sway me or advise me as basically being able to identify mentally with these things that are occurring outside of me, that how could you relate that to it affecting my persona rather than my true self? Like the true self is unmoved by anything that would occur outside of it's in my auto hope to supreme balance at all times. But these things that are being perceived by us utilizing the five senses, the soul, how could you basically share with an individual that in all actuality they're not, their true self is not experiencing it. Their true self is still in the state where it always has been. In a state of undifferentiation rather than differentiation.
Mm. So how, let me ask you this, Conscious, how would your life specifically be different than it is right now, if that thought process you just described lived and resided in your heart?
It would affect my reality because my emotions basically would tie me into the physical. But I'm an individual who I strive, so I realize the difference based on the ancient teachings of subjective reality and objective reality, in that in all actuality the subjective aspect of ourselves don't experience what we perceive ourselves to experience unless we allow ourselves to get pulled in it, like someone sitting inside of a movie theater watching a movie. The external world is around you, and you basically get pulled in, not realizing that these things around you are guides, lessons, actors to basically better prepare you along your path. You get so emotionally attached that you can become part of the big screen, a part of the movie. And in doing so, you feel the effects of those things external rather than vibrate off of what's internally inside of you, your spirit, which should remain at hope tap for balance.
Okay, so if someone, let's say, was in a plane that wasn't here, was not in the physical plane as we know it today, then they would be wherever that might be. And one day we're going to leave this physical plane. And we're going to go back to wherever that might be. Correct?
Correct, so, if we're not already there.
Well, if everything is one, then you're in all places at all times. And where you
right.
are at this particular moment in your thought process is what's manifesting into your reality here at this moment. And a simple little possible way of viewing life would, from what you're describing to me, would be this scenario that I'm thinking about at the moment, which is if you go on vacation, you're at your house, and you're about to leave. You've got all this great thoughts about going on vacation. You do everything that you possibly can to do to plan that vacation, and then you leave your destination. You leave for your destination. In other words, you left where you were, and you're out there going to experience this vacation. So you're out there, and you're experiencing this vacation. And even though you know it's a vacation, you love the experience of it. And at some point, you know you're going to go back home. Life is over here at where your house was, where your original destination was when you left. So you right now, as a being of light, which has never been separated from anything except for the moment of this experience, which is something that you, I, and ourselves as one decided we wanted to experience, you could look at it as a human vacation.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
So as that human vacation... As that human vacation, you can choose to experience anything you wanted to experience.
Exactly.
It's your choice to experience that. So whatever it is that you are experiencing, has to be a result of your choice, whether you want to see it as that or not. So since it is a result of your choice, you can choose a different experience and still remain both separate and whole at the same time.
And that's the new
exactly.
That's the new reality, is that we are, that living from the place that we, the truth is that we are both. If we look at it astrologically, that's the Leo Aquarius access. The Leo is the individuated aspect or manifestation, the self-expression, and the Aquarius is the group, the collective of the all that is. So we are both, but where we choose to put our awareness for a moment and live that out in that game of that dimension or density, it's about expressing on that level, but also recognizing that you are one and untouched, but yet you are touched. But yet, you're right, the true self is untouched, but yet an aspect of us is touched. Because like you're saying, Tony, we came here to be touched. We came here to touch and touch.
That's
right?
Why we're here.
We came here to affect and be affected.
Yes, you are a co-creator in the existence that you have. Your part of the co-creation is to ask. You ask in not words, so to speak, as the way that we understand words or communication to be, but the universal way of communicating, which is vibration. And vibration is generated by feelings. Then they're enhanced or amplified by your words. So they work hand in hand, but you have to start with a feeling. And a feeling, I can sit in my chair, and yourself, Michelle, as a hypnotist, you know you can generate with that person, you can help them generate any feeling that they desire to feel, regardless of how intense it is. They are generating it on their own. You're just acting as a facilitator to help them do it. So now if we take that actor, that person that's helping me facilitate it, and I step away from that person and I just start to generate the feeling on my own, then I can feel any way I want to feel at any particular time, regardless of what's happening around me. It's my choice to go down the path and get touched by this conversation or not touched by this conversation. But however I decide to feel will also start to dictate to the reality around me. So I can't consciously go over and affect you. Go ahead.
Say it again. You just, oh my God, that's amazing. Say it again, what you're saying, because so people got to hear this.
I'll try to say it the same flow.
Yeah, but it's so profound. Okay.
I can't physically control the environment around me. I can indirectly, directly control the physical reality around me by what I do with myself. So if I'm trying to give you a gift and you refuse that gift, I'm left with the gift. Okay? So taking that concept, if I get really, really excited, and in my excitement, I'm taking my hand and beating myself across my chest because I can't contain the excitement, I am changing how people are going to perceive me. So I've affected the reality by changing what I do.
Yeah, I love that. You're affecting the reality by
changing what I do. If I look out and we're all one, then what's outside of me is a mirror. I'm not going to reach into the mirror and try to scrub my face because I'm just going to hit the mirror. I have to come back and shave my own beard. And then the reality outside, the mirror, the reflection, has changed. So in any relationship, I'm not trying to do anything to this individual. That's just going to get me borrowed energy or steal from them, which means I'm going to have to replenish it by stealing from somebody else, and that person's going to feel terrible and not like me because I steal energy from them all the time. But if I want the relationship to be different, then I am different. I have to generate a different feeling. I have to see this situation as perfect. I have to feel this scenario, this act in a play that I'm in, this particular scene, as perfect. And for ourselves, what we've done with this process is we go, how can we create these triggers like you were talking about earlier? And that's where we came up with the modern technology, which is what you were talking about earlier, and said, wow, if we get a cell phone and we get some software and we set up this software so that I can remind myself without remembering that I reminded myself, just like my life now, I came here with wanting to not remember why I came here so I could experience the coming of here. We do the same thing with the text, in that with a cell phone, the technology, by programming out a month in advance these little 17-second text reminders to that come at points throughout the day that I don't remember when I did it, but I do know that it's coming. I gave myself assistance. I gave myself help. So all of a sudden I'm in this conversation and I get this text that says, take 17 seconds right now and picture what you're doing right now as perfect. How would you feel this scenario is perfect right now? And then like the blind man with the cane, finish this conversation by feeling perfect and watch how you've affected reality. Watch how you can control or manipulate if those are the words
now,
that
Tony,
you choose to
use.
Now,
Tony, got two more people on the air. I want to, because those that are listening via the archives, iTunes, the other stations that are streaming, we are talking with Tony Rathstone of seeitperfect.com. I want to get to a couple more questions because you can find out more stuff by going to seeitperfect.com. Let's see, a couple questions really quick. Hi, 510-355, you're on the air with Awakenings. Did you have a question
Hi.
For Tony? Hi.
No, I was actually just listening. I have to walk my bike to the bike shop, but I'm really enjoying the conversation, and it's just, you know, affirming everything I've been meditating on and receiving, especially for this equinox, you know, at 4:44 a.m. and all that good stuff. But one question I did have was if you could expound upon the Leo Aquarius axis again, and just, you know, the being and then the presence of stuff. And it's a personal, you know, request. I have a lot in Leo. Well, my moon in Aquarius and then my rising in Venus in Leo. So I'm just interested to hear more about that if you have time.
Oh, okay. Just really quickly, is that Leo Aquarius axis? The Leo is the sun. It's the sense of self. So in essence, we're moving into self-expression that's not at the cost of others. So it's about expressing ourselves in a way, in a manner that is in alignment with the greater consciousness or more expanded consciousness or more expanded awareness. So from that state, that Aquarius axis is about that balance of the two. So even if your own life, if you look at that for yourself, how can you be more balanced, or how can you have your own self-expression, be in your own creativity, yet in a balance with that Aquarius aspect that is concerned with the collective or the group, if you will.
Okay.
Does that help?
Great. It does. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to get to the other callers. Thanks for listening. Hello, you're on the air with Awakenings and Tony Rathstone of seeitisperfectly.com. Did you have a question or comment for Tony? Hello, 111, I think it's a Skype or international call. Okay, well, Tony, hello? Okay, well, they may just be listening. Conscious, did you have another question?
No, I wanted to thank the speaker. And basically, when he was speaking in reference to subjective reality and objective reality, it's sort of like looking in the mirror. The reflection that you see inside of the mirror holds greater significance than what you perceive to be you in all actuality. So anything that we do actually is occurring within our minds, and everything that we look at to be space, time, distance, actually is the distance that we establish within our minds. So I appreciate him responding to the question. Respect. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, that was very nice. Conscious, thank you so much.
That's great. 90 seconds, and we have the caller again putting the hand up. Hi, you're calling internationally? You're on the air with Awakenings. We've got just a minute left. Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Hello. I've been listening to the show for the past 10 minutes, and I can really relate to what is the show about. I mean, I can really relate to your story as I've been listening. Is there any advice you might give or something? Because I
You know, we have just a few seconds left, so what I would suggest, caller, is go to seeitperfect.com, and you can find out some information about Tony Rathstone. And there's information about Awakenings, Awakenings radio program on the segment page, or you can also download the archives on iTunes.com. Again, everyone, we have been dialoguing with Tony Rathstone of seeitperfect.com. For more information, you can go to seeitperfect.com. Thanks so much, Tony.
Thanks, Michelle. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
This was great. You get great insight, great information, and again, if you want more information about seeitperfect.com.
Seeitasperfect.com.
Seeitasperfect, thank you. Seeitasperfect.com. You can contact Tony Rathstone at seeitasperfect.com. It's all perfect.
There you go. We got it.
We got it. Okay, seeitasperfect.com, Tony Rathstone. Thanks so much. And listeners, thank you for tuning in to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. And Awakenings is airing every Wednesday and Friday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Next Wednesday, we have Jill Peirce, amazing shaman, the voice of the shaman. And next Thursday, we have Greg Braden, who will be talking about 2012, the New Age, and Fractal Time, Sacred Geometry. It'll be an amazing, amazing program. And also Friday, we have Dr. Lynn Boutros, who's a medical and emotional, spiritual intuitive. So she used to work with Pritikin, so she's got a lot of amazing tools in her toolkit. And we're going to be talking about your soul is talking. Are you listening? And I'm listening. I'm listening to all of you. I love your emails, your feedback, your comments. Please continue to email me if you would like to be on the newsletter or receive updates about Awakenings Radio. You can email me at info@selfinlight.com. That's info@selfinlight.com. And again, our guest was Tony Rathstone at seeitasperfect.com. All right, all. Go shine your light and keep awake. We're just going to end with a little Elements of Grace by Diane Garris. Again, shine your light.